I'm going to read about 22 verses this morning. I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to give a small teaching. And it's on our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. If you ever heard that you have liberty in Christ, that Christ has freed you, the question is, what has He freed us of? And I'm going to read about 22 verses from Genesis to Revelations through the Bible on our freedom that we have in Christ. But first of all, I want to read us in Psalms. Psalm 119, I think it's got about 150 verses. I'm not going to read it now. I'm just going to read a few verses from there to tell us the importance of the Word of God. Why would I read 22 verses to you this morning? I mean, why don't I take a magazine and open a magazine, a Huisgenoot, or a Time, and read that to you? Why would I read the Bible to you? It's also a book that men wrote. They wrote it over 40 generations, and more than 40 writers was involved. But there was only one source, and that was the Holy Spirit. Over 40 generations, He inspired every word that you have in your Bible. So if you want to read, if you want to know the importance of the Bible, go and read the whole of Psalm 119. Like I say, it's about, I'll tell you now, it is 150 verses, yes. I'm just going to read a few verses from verse 100. Let's go back. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Oh, it's got 176 verses. Okay, verse 100. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I'm going to read that one again. That was in my spirit this morning when I woke up. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This verse my father gave to me, he bought me a Bible. I think I was in standard 6, grade 8. And he bought me a Bible and he wrote this verse in the front of that Bible. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgment. Accept the freewill offerings of my mouth. Our mouth is connected to our heart. And when our heart is involved in our mouth, what comes out here is from the Spirit. And that is what God wants. He said, I don't want your offerings. I want what you give to me. That what is free, that's coming freely from your heart, that is what I need from you. He's also saying in John 4, I don't want worship. He's not saying that, that's my words. But he's saying, I want worshippers that will worship. All of you here are worshippers this morning. I heard every one of you worship this morning. It's not just the band, and thank you for the band. It's not just the band that worshiped this morning. They led us in worship, but all of us are worshippers. I'm going to pray for us, then we're going to start. Father, thank you that we can be in this space this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your angels surrounding us. Thank you for your word that stands like a light in our midst. You are that light, Lord Jesus. And we declare you as our King. You are the one that has freed us, and we belong to you. We give you all praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to start, maybe a little bit boring in the beginning, because I'm going to start from Exodus. Who reads Exodus? Okay, Exodus 21 verse 2. So think about free. If you can run in a commentary the word free, you'll come up with the same verses that I've got here. Free in Christ is my title, or liberty. Exodus 21 verse 2. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years, and in his seventh he shall go out free for nothing. So there was this principle, you buy a slave, he works for you 6 years, the seventh year you have to let him go. And there's a reason why I'm reading these verses, because this theme runs through the whole Bible. Exodus 21 verse 5, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my sons, I do not want to go free. So in the seventh year, this slave was told, you can go, you are free. And this slave chose and said, I love it where I am, I want to stay. He's not a slave anymore. The term those days was a bond servant, a slave that loved his master. So he was more than a slave. And in the New Testament, that is what we are called. That we serve the Lord Jesus because we love. We love, we are slaves of the Lord Jesus, but it's because of love. It's not because of labor, it's not because of dominion, but it's because we love him. Deuteronomy 15 verse 12. 1:5 verse 12. If your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the seventh year you shall let him go free from you. Same theme as in Exodus. Deuteronomy 15 verse 18. It shall not seem hard to you when you send him away from you free, for he has been worth a double hired servant in serving you 6 years. And Jehovah your God shall bless you in all that you do. Jehovah your God shall bless you in all that you do. We're still in Deuteronomy 24 verse 5. Deuteronomy 24 verse 5. When a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any duty. He shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife whom he has taken. I remember March 98, when Hannah and me got married, we decided not to have a TV in our house. Are you alright?
Yes.
Need water. Hannah, can you organize some water, please? In both our households, Gerda and me grew up in a house that sat every night in front of the TV. I remember 8 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock was news, 8 o'clock was Dallas, and then all the children goes to the bedroom. Some of you will know what I'm talking about, others won't have a clue. But we grew up in front of the TV, and we made this decision by the Lord not to have TV in our house for the first year or 2 years. I think it was about 2 years until our firstborn, Balay. And the reason for that was not to be legalistic, but to lay proper foundations in our marriage, to spend quality time together. I said to her, I really want to get to know you. Not your background, but who you are. And the only way to do that is to invest time. Not sit together in front. Now we have series. We don't have TV so much anymore, but now we sit in front of series. I'm not talking against that. I'm talking about it's a decision that we made as a marriage couple. And that's more or less what he's talking about here. He says, don't go to war, men, after you got married, and don't work for a year. This is not a law that we must all apply. Okay? It's just a principle at the time. 1 Chronicles 9 verse 33, and these were the singers, chief of the fathers of the Levites, in the chambers. They were free of duty, for they were employed in that work day and night. So there was 12 tribes in Israel. This tribe never owned any houses or property. This tribe never got an income. It was the responsibility of the other 11 tribes to look after them. Why? Because this tribe, the Levites, the Levitical priesthood, They stood before God day and night. Like Dawson, like you said, you're a worshipper. That's who you are. That's what the Levites were. They were worshippers. They worshiped God day and night. God has a need for us to worship Him day and night. And this is what the Levites did. So you'll see the key word here is free. So Job 3 verse 19, the small and the great are there. And the slave is free from his master. So in this chapter, he talks about death. But the context here is in heaven. Whether you're small on earth, whether you're great on earth, in heaven you're all the same. Even here we are all the same. Christ says in him, the Greek, the Hebrew, the slave, the free man, everybody is the same. Why? There's only one way to access the throne room of God our Father, and it's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to the Lord, He establishes peace between God and man. And therefore, 24 hours, we've got access to Him. The blood of Jesus brought this about. And we have the Holy Spirit that takes us. Remember the Holy Spirit. He takes us into the Holy of Holies, which is where the throne room of God is, where the Father and the Lord Jesus sits. Where's the Holy Spirit? He's here with us. Holy Spirit's not in heaven. Jesus said, I'm going up. It's better for you that I go up, so that I can send the Holy Spirit down. He will represent me on earth. So in every one of us is the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus cannot duplicate a million times. He's sitting in His physical body, a renewed body, a resurrected body that God the Father gave Him. And His plan was to send the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit came and resurrected Jesus. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit that He came and took Jesus out of the grave. And now Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God and He's interceding for us now. At the moment He's praying for us while the Holy Spirit is teaching us. I'm not the one teaching you now. The Holy Spirit is the one teaching you now. Drawing you closer to the heart of the Father and to Jesus. Changing us to look like Jesus. Psalm 119, I've read that to you. Isaiah 52 verse 2. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up. Sit, Jerusalem. Free yourself from your neck bonds, O captive daughter of Zion. What neck bonds do we have this morning? What is taking our joy down? Is it debt? What is it that is that's lying on our neck like a yoke? That's trying to keep us close to the ground, not wanting us to stand up and to worship. That's a question to ask this morning. Isaiah 58 verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed ones go free, and that you break every yoke? This is what happens when we fast. I saw this time and again. The Lord leads me into fasting. I saw it with Khaira as well. When we go into fasting, things that we don't even pray for, those things break. Stuff that's been years in the making. We've given up on it. A person will come back to the Lord. Or a relationship will be restored. Or a debt will be broken and cancelled.
Can I share this moment?
Please.
So, when I was born again, I had an addiction that I struggled with, and I just couldn't break it, and I couldn't give it. I gave it to God, but it came back, so I just couldn't really give it to God. And at the end of my first year during the group, God showed me how I should fast, that I should start fasting on like a weekly basis. Well, I didn't know anything about how do you fast, like what do you do? Like, do I just not drink or eat anything, or how do I do it? So I just started with that, and then God showed me as I continued, like, okay, you shouldn't do this, you can't do this, this is allowed, this is not allowed, and all that. God showed me, okay? And it was very clear. And somewhere in the year, I went home, and my dad doesn't really agree with fasting and things like that. He thinks it's not appropriate, and you can't hear directly from God what he wants you to do. So he didn't. Like, improved, but I didn't want to stop fasting when I was at home. because I feel like God told me that this is what I must do. And I can't stop because I'm at that uncomfortable because God told me you can do this. And my dad asked me why I do this. And I told him because God told me I should do this. And he could not accept that. So getting that back at June vacation last year, I asked God to really show me what is his purpose in fasting, what is he, because I know it's to break my addiction, but I don't have anything to give somebody who's not a believer, somebody who doesn't understand that God directly spoke to me. And I was sitting one morning, it's crazy, and then this passage, literally, I went through my Bible and I read my daily scriptures, and I went to another place, I don't know where I went, but then I opened my Bible again to go to other places, it opened on this verse, exactly this verse. And I read it and I knew this is exactly what God wants me to do and why he's wanting me to fast. And it was so cool just to see that if you really ask God for something and you seek him, he will show you, like he will show you why you're doing what you do. So it was very encouraging for me to share with you guys.
Thank you, Emery. So Isaiah 58, the whole of Isaiah 58 shows us how to fast. Shows us what must be our heart posture. How does it work in terms of our job situation or study situation, but how to practically fast. And this is where he talks about when you do these things, when your heart posture comes before you. What is fasting? Fasting is not so much not eating. But fasting is declaring, God, you are my food. You are my source. You are my provision. You are actually the one keeping me alive, not food. But you are the one that's keeping me alive. Moses was a man just like us. And he went up for 40 days on the mountain with God. And he came down and the people were sinning and he broke the tables that God gave him. And he went back up for another 40 days. No food. No water for 80 days with a body like we have. That shows us that God is our life. I am not encouraging you now to go on a 40-day or 80-day fast, is all I'm saying. But that's what fast is. Fast is all about saying, God, you are my life. You are the one keeping me alive. And keeping me, giving me joy, sustaining me this day. John 8 verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When Jesus stood in front of Pilate, Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? And Jesus didn't answer him, because Pilate didn't realize that truth was standing in front of him. Truth is a person. Truth is more than a philosophy. Yesterday I was reading through different philosophers, Plato and Socrates, and there were these Greek philosophers that were very wise, and they had wisdom. And they thought they had truth. But the only truth that is really there is Jesus Christ. He embodies truth. He says, I am the way, the truth in the life. Whoever comes through me will have eternal life. Coming through him to the Father will have eternal life. Therefore, John 8:36, therefore if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Romans 5 verse 15. These next couple of scriptures are a bit technical, but I'll explain it to you. But the free gift shall not be also like the offense. For if by the offense of one many died. He's speaking of Adam here. For if by the offense of the one, many died. Because Adam sinned, because Adam was disobedient in the Garden of Eden, we all were disobedient. That's just the principle. Adam was the first man. And when he did something, it applied to the whole human race. That DNA came right down the bloodline all the way to us. And that's what he's saying here. Because of the offense of the one, many died. Much more the grace of God and the gift in grace, which is of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. When Jesus came, the last Adam, he cancelled that DNA. He cancelled that sin that came through the bloodline. Because he became sin for us on the cross. Romans 5:16. and the free gift shall not be as by one having sinned. For indeed the judgment was of one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses to justification. So what we received from Adam when we were born was condemnation. And when we are in Christ, like we are near today, that's something you must never experience. If you are experiencing condemnation, it's a lie. Because Jesus came, He took it away. He replaced it with justification. He came and declared, God came and declared us just. God came and looked at the blood of Jesus spilled on the cross, and He said, everyone here is free. You are just. I've looked at your sins and there is nothing. Jesus took everything. So you've been justified. Romans 5:18, therefore as by one offense sentence came on all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, as Jesus Christ, the free gift came to all men to justification of life. Romans 6:18, then being made free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. Romans 6:20, for when you were the slaves of sin, you were free from righteousness. Romans 6:22, but now being made free from sin, and having become slaves to God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. So what the old nature, the Adamic nature wants to do, is add works to righteousness. And this is something that we must stand against. You cannot add any works to the righteousness. That righteousness of God that you receive is already at 100%. It's full. It's not 99% so that you can add 1% of works to it. It's already at 100%. So it's an affront to God if we want to do stuff to increase our righteousness. That's what we call self-righteousness. And at that moment we've actually moved out of the righteousness of God into our own righteousness. Romans 7 verse 6, but now we having been set free from the law, having died to that in which we were held, so that we serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. I said just now we are all worshippers. Jesus said in John 4 when He spoke to that woman at the well, He says, God is looking for worshippers in the last days that will worship Him in spirit and truth. Worship cannot start from our mouth or from our mind or from our will. It starts from our heart. It is our heart that belongs to God. It is our heart that says, Jesus, sit on the throne of my heart. Worship only flows from there. And worship is more than just singing. Worship is a way of life. The life you live constantly, the whole day today, is worship. And it flows from inside. It's a way we live. He calls it the newness of life. It's the way we live. And it's by the Holy Spirit. I think it was Romans 5. Towards the end of Romans 5, he says that the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that is the key, that we live by the Holy Spirit. And there is already love here. If I say I cannot forgive that person, look what that person has done to me, and I'm innocent, I didn't do anything. Jesus was innocent. But we did a lot of stuff. We were even enemies of God. Romans 1 says that everyone can see in the creation that there is a God. But we chose to ignore it. We chose to live our own lives. And Jesus came, and even though He was innocent, He died for us. And that is our inspiration. That is our compelling factor, if I can call it that. The love in us compels us to forgive. It compels us to love one another, to honor one another. So honor is not about where your status in life. Honor is about Jesus Christ has made this person, so I will honor that person. Romans 8 verse 2, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It says exactly the same thing. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We live from the Spirit, through the Spirit. The love that is in us compels us to do good works. You realize that good works is not something you initiate. Good works is something that's in you. That love that is in you, as it flows out to other people, good works and fruit, of course. John 15, Jesus said, "Abide in me and abide in my words, and you will bear fruit." So the whole illustration there in John 15 is him being the vine, us being the branches. The Father is the one that keeps the vine. He prunes. Where there's dry branches, even in our life, where there's areas in our life that doesn't bear fruit, he comes and prunes that, so that the other areas in our life can bear more fruit. But never can we say, I bore that fruit. That was my response. I did that. You can't. Because it's a sap that flows from the vine into the branch that causes the fruit to grow. So glory always goes back to God. It can't come to us because we couldn't do it. We're not responsible for the fruit. We just need to abide in Jesus. The last two verses, Galatians 5 verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with which Christ has made us free, and do not again be held with a yoke of bondage. I asked just now about what is keeping us down. There's no reason for us to be in bondage. Emory came and gave a testimony how Christ came and freed him. How did he free him? He yielded. She yielded to him. On that cross, we sang about it this morning, he bore the stripes for our sins, for our weaknesses. What is addictions? It's our weaknesses. He already paid the price for it. His blood flowed for it. There is no reason for us to be subjected to any bondage, because Jesus is our King. We have been freed from our own works. In Romans it talks about the law. That own works that we have, that self-righteous works, we've been freed from that. We have a different husband now, and that is Jesus Christ. He's the one that we're living for now. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So Jesus' call and the Holy Spirit's call this morning is for us to walk in that freedom and that liberty that Jesus has paid for us. You think about the price he paid with a body that we've got, similar body, with emotions that we have, with the will that we've got, with the intellect that we have. The only difference was in his spirit man. In his spirit man, he was fully God. But Jesus is sitting with that same body, with that same marks through his hands and his feet and his side, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And he's saying to you personally, what is it that's keeping you down? Because I've conquered it all. So this morning, I want you to look at Jesus and to trust him. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says that faith is to know that God is. Faith is not this mystic quality where the one is stronger in faith than the other one. Faith is just to say, God, you are. Jesus, you did this and I believe you. I believe when you died, I was crucified with you. I believe that when you were in that tomb, I was there with you. I believe that when you were resurrected, I was resurrected with you. Therefore, I'm alive. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to my old man, the old Adam. And I'm alive to you to live this life today. And to live it free. Don't be conquered by anything in this world. Be in this world. I'm not saying to you, come out of the world. Be in this world. But do not become part of this world. Don't let this world swallow you up. Be holy. Be separate. How are you holy? By the Holy Spirit. We live by the Holy Spirit. That's how. Holiness is not something I can choose. Like humility. I cannot choose now. I am humble. It's a spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can make us humble. Only He can make us holy. It's not by ourselves. Once again, that fruit, we don't have control over it. He works it in our life as we yield to it. Okay, let me pray for us. Father God, I thank you that we can come before you. Our King, our Lord, you suffered for us. You walked that road of suffering for 33 years. You grew up before man and before God, and you showed us an example how to live this life. Thank you that you made us free by your blood. Thank you for your word, that this word, as we heard it this morning, it is washing us, it is cleaning us, it is encouraging us to live for you, to love our fellow man, to forgive our enemies. We give you all praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.